Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Lamed Dalet. We're starting the Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Gimel Omed Beis, where the Mishnah begins, Arova Gizula, V'yevesha Psula. As you know, we started off our perek, Lulav HaGozul, V'yevesh. And then we went on to, in yesterday's Gemara, the day before, Hodos HaGozul V'yevesh. Now we're up to Arova Gizula, V'yevesha. And guess what? At the end of today's plot, we're going to have Esrik HaGozul, V'yevesh. Rashi notes, why do we have to have four separate Mishnayos that have to say the same thing again and again? Wouldn't it have been easier just simply to start that all the Arbaminim, if they are Gezulim and Yevashim, they're Pasul? So Rashi says the reason why we have four separate Mishnayos addressing the four Minim is because although many of the Halachas are the same, Gozel and Yovish is the same, Asher of Irani Dachas is the same, but after that you start getting into differences. So for instance, Rashi says when it comes to Lulav, we had the Halacha of the Lulavim, which were Tzinei Har HaBarzel, where the leaves did not overlap the other leaves of the on the Shedra of the Lulav, but instead were much, much smaller. So that was Halacha that only applies to Lulav. And then we have Lagabe the Hadassim, that Anovav Merubin Me'alav, if you had more berries than you had leaves, that's only Halacha that applies to a Hadass. Our Mishnah by the Arava, we're going to talk about in a moment, the Tzavtzava. Tzavtzava is only Halacha in Aravois, and in Yet Shem, we get to the Esrig at the end of today's shir, we're going to talk about Orla and Truma and Maisa Sheni, which only apply to Sroigim and don't apply to the other three. So again, Arova Gzula, if you have an Arova that was stolen, the Yevesha, or if it's Osketriken, Osketriken means that it's dried out, Psula, it's Posel. What's the reason why an Arova Gzula is Posel? Because it says in the Torah, Lekachtem Lochem, it's got to be yours, it cannot be somebody else's. But that only works for the first day, because the Din Min HaTorah of the Arba Minim is only on the first day of Yom Tov. What about the other days of Yom Tov? Is an Arava Gezula Mutter? And the answer is no. Why not? Because we had in the Gemara, it's a mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira, and therefore the entire Yom Tov it is possible. When it's Yovesh, it's possible. Why is Yovesh possible? Because it says in the Torah that it's got to be pre-eight hodar. It's got to be hodar. Now it's true that if that says v'gabed esrik. However, the Gemara says we have a hekish from esrik to all the other three minim that all of them are possible if they are yovesh. That's if we had the Gemara, and that's how Tosis learned pshat in the first Mishnah lulav agozel be a yovesh. Although Rashi said in the Mishnah back on Daf Koftes when we started the new parak, Rashi said that the reason for the Yovish is possible because of Zek Keli Van Veil. Anyway, Toises sharply disagreed. But continuing on, there's one more diak that is important here. Rashi says at the very beginning, if you look at the Rashi down below, first Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi says, Arova Gezula V'Yevesha Psula, says Rashi, Lelulav! Lelulav! What do you mean, Lelulav? We don't mean from Matzah and Pesach, we don't mean blowing Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, of course we're talking about Lelulav. No. There are two types of Aravos which were used. Even today we have two types of Aravos. We have the Arava that we use every single day of Sukkot together with the Lulav. And then of course we have an Hoshein Arava. We have the special Aravos. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash they had those Aravos every single day. Mitchell, we're going to learn about that further on Daf Mem Hei in Yes Hashem. So what Rashi is telling us is that the Din of Lochem, that Arava Gezula is possible, that is referring specifically to the Arava in the Lulav. Why specifically the Lulav? Because that's what it says in the Pasuk. Lekachtem Lochem B'yom Rishon. In fact, where does it say anywhere in the Torah about the Arava that you take on Hoshana Rabba, or in the Beis HaMikdash throughout the week of Sukkot? So that's going to be a machloikis which we'll see in the Gemara shortly, here in the bottom of the Omid and on to the beginning of the Omid Aleph and Daf Lamed Aleph. We'll see that in Mi'achim Shom. Anyway, so bottom line, Rashi says that the Aravas that we're talking about in our Mishnah are specifically referring to those used together with the Lulav. Continuing the Mishnah, Shel Esheira v'Shel Erni Dachas, why the Apostle? So Rashi brings, like we had already a couple of times, because of the din of Ksusei, mechtes shiurei. What is ksusim mechtes shiurei? When it comes to the asheira or the irani dachas, which we learned about in last week, etc., the loch is you got to go and burn them, and therefore kol ha'oimed lisroif kisorov dami. If you take an arova from an asheira tree or from irani dachas, since it's supposed to be burned, it's deemed if it's already burned and it's missing the shiur. The shear of a rabbis is a minimum of 3 tvachim. But if it's burned, then you have less than 3 tvachim, you have 0. Therefore it's possible. Niktam roisha nifritzu aleha bihatzafzifa are psula. Niktam roisha means, like we had by the hadasim, that if the top, same thing also by the lulav, if the top of the arava is missing, was cut off, broke off, whatever, possible. Nifritu aleha, if the leaves on the arava fell off, even if you're able to reattach them by putting around it the kesher of the lulav, makes a difference. Nifritu aleha, post. But tzafzifa, now tzafzifa, that's something brand new, and that's what Rashi said. That's why we have this Mishnah about arava. Tzafzifa, explains Rashi, is something which looks similar to an arava, but it's different. In which way is it different? Number one, we'll see Mitchim the Gemara, the Gabi, the colors of the aravais vis-a-vis the tzafzifa. But in addition to that, tzafzifa, when you get to the leaves are not moshuch kinacha. They're not lengthy, not long, but rather they are totally circular. They look like a circle. And in fact, I remember I was going in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago. Either I was on a bus or I was in a cab, I don't remember. But someone said to me, you see over there on the road, that's the tzafzifa. They said, what do you mean tzafzifa? Yeah, those are the aromas which are fossil. And you look at them from the outside, from afar, oh, looks very similar to the aromas. You get close, you see that they are circular in nature, the leaves. They're not long leaves, they're more of a circle. Anyway, getting that you have already in Tanakh, tzitzuf, chattering, chirping. A bird, when he chirps, it's called a tzitzuf. And so they use that same thing for when they honk the horn. So that's also makes, at least years ago, used to make a tzitzuf. Today, of course, it could sound like an atom bomb sometimes. But at least the good old days, it made such. Maybe they're noisy when they sway back and forth in the wind. So that's absolutely possible. Kimusha means that the arava is now withered. Not that it is fully yavesh, that we already spoke about in the Mishnah, that a yavesh is possible. Here it means that it's shriveling, it's shrinking. So it's not fully yavesh. That's the definition of kimusha. Vishinoshru mitzas aleha. Some of the alim have fallen off, many of them are still there. Vishel ba'al. Now, I know many people think Baal, oh, that means like an avoy dessert. No, nothing to do with that. I'm talking about a sodeh habal. Sodeh habal, explains Rashi, is a sodeh that does not require artificial irrigation. It suffices lemtar hashamoyim tishtamoyim. Just based on rain alone, this the Arbi Nachal, the Arovis, will thrive and will live, and therefore it's kosher. What is the chiddush of shalbal? Because since the Torah doesn't use the expression arovois, it says arvi nochal. Nachal sounds like it's next to a brook, next to a stream, and therefore, if it's in the middle of a sodeh bal, which is in the middle of nowhere, no water supply anywhere, slimtar hashamayim tishtamoyim, also kosher. It doesn't have to be dafke next to a nachal. Tanurban. Dr. Imara, we learned in the Braisa, Arve Nochal. What's the whole pasuk? We have the benefit of Ora Shalem. Ulakachal Mechem Beyoim Arishon. Take on the first day of Yom Tov, Pri Eitz Hodor and Esrik. Kapis Tamarim Alulav. Anaf Eitz Ovois is a Hodos. The Arve Nochal are the Arovs. Dr. Imara, Arve Nochal, Hagdelim Ala Nachal. The reason why they got the name Arve Nochal is because they grow on the Nachal. From Rashi is Mashma, that although any arava that grows anywhere, like on a stehabal, is kosher. Lichat chila, one should be machmir to go and get a robes that grow next to a nachal. That's Rashi, two lines from the bottom. Nachle moye mitzvah bizu. It's a mitzvah to go and use arbi nachal. Umil shobal is also kosher, like it says at the end of the Mishnah. Why, in fact, maybe it's got to be dafka arbi nachal? Sigmar is going to say on the last line, because arvei is a lashon rabim, multiple. It's telling you both arbi nachal and also arbi bal are also kosher. So we spoke about this in the Mishnah, that the Arovois leaves are extended and are elongated, they're long, like a Nachal that is also Moshech, that also stretches. Where it's round. Tani Idach Nochab Reis, Arvi Nochal Inli Elen Arvi Nachal Shal Baal, that's against the Baal, where it's just rainwater. Vishal Horem, for those that thrive and grow on the mountains, which don't have a nachal there. Minai, how do I know this? Also kosher. Arvi nachal mikol mokrein. Arvi nachal means the rai is not from the word nachal. The rai is from the word arvei. Word arvei is a lashon rabim to tell you it's not only nachal, but also from horim and from baal, from anywhere. Now, l'choyre the drasha of the Gemara is a bissel l'shveh, because I understand the Gemara's kavana arvei means multiple. But maybe the word arvei has come to tell you that you have to have two aravis. After all, as we know, you're not yoytzu with one aravi, you have to use two. So maybe that's the reason why the Torah says arvei nochal. So what's the rai that you're including now, not only nachal, but also baal and harem? So the answer is that we're going to see in Miyat Hashem on Lama Dalet on the page, there's going to be one Mandi Omar, Reb Akiva, that says that you only need one lulav, one esroik, one hodos, and one arava. Therefore, according to Reb Akiva, you only need one arava. Why would the Torah say arve nachal? Oh, that becomes to include not only nachal but also baal and harp. Abishaloyman, arve shtayim. The word arve is two, like we've just seen. Achas the lulav, achas the migdish. It's come to tell you the din that you have the arovis to the lulav on the first day of the yontif. Remember, mena toira, you only have it on the first day of the yontif. The achas the migdish and the arovis that you use in the base of migdish. And once you use in the base of migdish, you had every day of yontif. That's mishim we're going to have on daf mem hay, another 10 days or so. Mitzvah arova keitzad makom yivamati yishalayim, etc., etc. And then b'chol yoyim, 5 lines into the Mishnah, b'chol yoyim makifin es ha-mizbeach ha-achas. Every day they did one hakafa around the mizbeach, like we do one hakafa around the bima every day of yontif. V'oyimim ona Hashem Hashiyana, ona Hashem Hashlichana. They said no Hishanis, Hashiyana, Hashlichana. Yudayim ani v'hoyo Hashiyana. And v'oyse ha-yoyim, oyse ha-yoyim is referring to Hashanah Rabbah, makifin es ha-mizbeach, shevapavim, like we do. So therefore you have to have Hishanis, Hishanis meaning the Arovis every single day, the base Midrash. Where does it say that in the Torah? I didn't find any clue. It says, Abishol, yeah, I have a clue. The Arvei Nochal, that second, that Arvei Shtayim comes to tell you one Lulav and one Le Midrash. It's one problem, that's beautiful according to Abishol. But the Tanakhama of this price is needed. The Arvei to go and tell us Shabbal v'Shacharim. So, faith of Rabbanon, the Mikdash ben Olu, since they use the Arvei to tell us other dinim, how do they know the Arava should be Mikdash? Says the Gemara, Eina Chanami. According to Rabbanon, there is no Raya min haTorah. It's strictly based on Halacha le Moshe miSinai. Hilchas Yimirlo. Yem Rav Asi, Yem Rav Yochanan, Esun Etiois, Arava v'Nisach Hamayim, Halacha le Moshe miSinai.
But why are we saying that Arve is only two? Arve is plural. It could be two, it could be three, it could be
100.
Exactly. So why are we saying that Arve is two and you can't learn more? It could be
no, we always say that. You can't take 100 and do the minimum.
Miut Rabim Shnayim, number one, and number two, like Brother Shai is saying, Tefasim Rubloi Tefasim, Tefasim Yutta Tefasim.
We're talking about Rushes here. We're not talking about Muslim Chavav Araya. We're talking about...
Absolutely. So the Rush of Chazal is, since Arve Miut Rabim Shnayim, the maximum that I can tell from this pasuk is either the Baal Shaparim or to go and tell the Lulav and the Mikdash. But to go and say more than that, what basis do I have to go and include more, since it's it might be interpreted as the minimum? But what forces you to go and tell us, or what's the basis of saying Lulav and Mikdash? Maybe Mikdash doesn't exist at all. It says Arve, and Arve comes to tell you that the Arovas that you take on the first day doesn't have to be Malkal, it can be Baal, it can be Harim. Anyway, so what are these three? So, skipping Esther Atiyah just for a short moment. Arav is what we're talking about, that every single day in the base of Migdash, they had Aravis which were standing on the ground and which were leaning against the Mizbeach, and people went around the Mizbeach and they said Tfilois.
It's
going to be a lengthy discussion. So that's the Arava. As far as Nisachamayim is that throughout the year, whenever they brought the Korbanis Tomich or Shachar, they always did Nisach Hayayim. In addition to that, when it comes on Sukkot, you also have the Nisach HaMayim. That was only on Sukkot, not throughout the whole Yom Tov. And because of the Nisach HaMayim that they did on Sukkot, it's a once a year, or 7 day or 8 day a year simcha, and a tremendous mitzvah. So they used to go make the simchas Beis HaSheva. Beis HaSheva means the water drawing. That's why, for instance, in Eretz Yisrael today, and even now in Chutz Laaretz, every day you have in various places they make a concept of simcha B'Sheva to remind themselves of the days of yore, soon to be the forthcoming days, when they did the Nisach HaMayim every day for the Kabbalah.
The Nisach HaMayim was with the Department of Talmud.
This Chayyim was actually on many Kabbanis. The reason why I'm referring to Mishul Shachar, if you look at the Rashi, before you get to the middle wide lines, the last of the narrow lines, the Nisach HaMayim, you see two lines at the end, the Tmin Mishul Shachar, Shivus Yimei HaChag, Kemen Metshem Lulu Barova, Vosu Mepharish, King Simenasim, Bein Mayim, Bein Yayim, V'chol Kabbanis, Kol Yimoy Seshona, Ein Niskeim, Ela Yayim. So you're right, Brother Shai. The carbon oil and the carbon shalom that they brought throughout the year, yes, they were nisachim. That's why we always keep on saying in Musaf, and then we're talking about Chatsiahim Yelapar, Fishasimayim, for Aviyasahim, Akevasiyoyim. So that's a Nisach Hayayim, which is, as you correctly pointed out, Barry Taka, for both the Oil and Shlomim, but the Nisach HaMayim was for the Tomei Shel Shachar only the 7 days. So that's a Rav Nisach HaMayim.
They drew the water at night, they had the bonfires, they brought the Beit HaMikdash, and this is already, then it was the time for the, they were up all night, is that what happened? And then they took the water, or they let it...
Brother Shai, I'd like to be able to tell you, I know all the answers, but the answer we have to wait until Menheim and Bob.
Somebody has to leave at 8:30 today, by the way, so we should really not, ask historical background questions.
Oh, boy.
Did you ever wonder when they took the water, where did they put it? Was it
it went up on Tisafsel where the Nisach HaMayim went.
Okay.
And that's why they threw the Esrogim at Yanai?
Yeah, okay.
You know, when he poured it on his feet instead of into the Safsel.
Seems to me we can make a see him on the Masechta right now. We're covering Temblah. Okay, so we'll get to that.
Okay.
What is the Esser Netiyas all about? So we skipped over that conveniently. What is the Esser Netiyas? Esser Netiyas is something which is Negea this year. What do you mean this year? Esser Netiyas is a special din in the sixth year immediately preceding the Shemitah year. So Rashi brings at some length that Min HaTorah, as we know, Shemitah is going to start on Rosh Hashanah, which is in less than a month. Rashi points out that based on a drush of Chazal and based on Aloch HaLomish Sinai, you're supposed to already stop going and doing Harisha and Zriya in your fields 1 month before. In other words, starting from yesterday. You're not supposed to do any work in the fields already a month before. And the Chachomim added to that further restrictions, and they said, depending on whether it's a stay lovin means a field in which you grow grain, lemushel, that already you have to go and stop on working and planting all the way from Pesach. And if you're talking about ilonos zikenim, older trees, not saplings, but trees that have already been around for a while. Then we go all the way back to Shavuos. So from Pesach is the Soda Lovan, from Shavuos is the Soda Ilonois Zikenim, and when it comes to the saplings of our Esenetiois, so Kadaita Chamina, that you'd be able to go and also you have to go and start earlier. Kamash Mula, no, you go all the way until Erev Rosh Hashanah. The reason is because the Esenetiois are still very tender and very young, and we don't want to keep them from being worked on for such a lengthy period of time. So therefore you can go all the way until Yantif, but it's got to be Esenetiois spread out on a base saw. Esenetiois means 10 saplings, 10 young trees spread out on a base saw. Base saw, says Rashi, is, as you know, 50 amis by 50 amis. 50 times 50 gets you to roughly 2,500 square amis. So it's got to be nicely, equally spaced out, spaced throughout the 10. And that means, says Rashi, what happens if you don't have 10? Each one of these young saplings gets 250 square amis, a room in a room, that tree where you're allowed to go and work on it until Erev Yatav. So let's take a quick look at the Rashi. It's a somewhat lengthy Rashi, but it's easy Rashi, and it's important since we're about to enter the Shnasa Shemitah. Esenetiois, it's about 10 lines into the narrow lines. Esenetiois, Mishnah Hibasei Nizroim, in Mesechta Shvias. Esenetiois Hamufuzoris Betoich Beisot, the 10 young saplings are spread out in a Beisot. Shein Bein Zu Lazu, the distance between one sapling and the other is elekema shiyesh bein zu lechaverta. The same distance between one and two is like between two and three, and three and four, and four and five. Utavsu beis saw, and they all spread out and cover a field of a beis saw. How much is a beis saw? Shununama al nunama, 50 by 50. Mifuzores laoirech veroichiv b'shover. Those are spread out evenly from top to bottom, right to left. Not that only 10 are together, sequestered in one corner. All b'shove, all equidistant from each other. So what's the difference? What's the din by these Esenetiois? Chorshin kol beisav b'shvilan erev shvius ad Rosh Hashanah. You can go all the way until erev Rosh Hashanah. In other words, for another 4 weeks until Rosh Hashanah, you can keep on plowing in that field. Afal pishim mitzvah min ha-Torah lohis michoil alakoyish. Even though min ha-Torah is a din that already erev shvius this year, you already have to stop early. How do you know? Kine nafkalan mi bechorish uve kotzir tishbois. The Chorish of the Kotzer is referring to when it comes to the Chorish of the plowing. The Kotzer is the harvesting. Tishbois, you have to go and rest. Now, if you're talking about in the Shemitah year itself, I don't need a pasuk for that. I have many, many psukim, the beginning of Parshas Bahar, that tell us that in the seventh year, you have to go and rest from everything. So this extra pasuk is coming to tell you, Chorish of Erev, Erev Shvias, and Nichlus Shvias. We're talking about the year of Erev Shvias, this year, which is Nichlus Shvias, which is at the outset, right before the Shemitah year. The Yosalach Shloishim Yoim Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Oh, so based on this pasuk of the Chorish of the Kotzer Tishbois, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, you should stop doing working in the fields. Can Amri Mishmaita Kamaisa Demaya Cotton Mikroi? You learned that from Sukkah. So here you can go and take a breath and make a quick stop. So Min HaTorah, the din of Shemitah starts in terms of the Harisha and the Katsira 30 days before. However, Zakrashi ben Etiois Nema the Moshe Misinai. Oh, that's our Loch Moshe Misinai. Azvot Shemut Alach Vishlachteim Ad Rosh Hashanah. You don't have to have this 30-day waiting period. No, until Rosh Hashanah. Kadesh Liyavshu, so they shouldn't go and dry out, because Nebuch, these are small, young, tender saplings. V'im Eserhein, and if they're ten Umufuzaris Kelchasim the third Beisah, if they're spread out nicely in the Beisah, 250 square amos to each one. Nema the Moshe She. That they have unika throughout the entire Beisah. So it's not only where the trees themselves are planted, you can go all the way to the ends of the fields, even though, well, from the end of the field until this tree, I got 125 or whatever amos, makes no difference. The entire Sadi can go and be Chodesh Bishvilan, because they nourish and they nurture from the entire field. Avlam ain't a meser. What happens if you don't have 10? You only have 9. You only have 8. Or you shouldn't have a kill chosin, where they're not spread out so evenly and so pinkler. What do you do then? And choyish tachas kolachas. Yeah, because kishir unique kosa. That each one of them, you give them the shear of their unika. The vichesmin eser lebeisa. Since beisa is 2,500, eser is 10 into 2,500. So therefore, each one gets 250 square ounces. But that's dafka. I'm sorry.
No advantage of 10 to 1. You still get the 250 if it's spread out.
That is correct. However, that slafukit comes to exclude ubi bonai zikainim. What happens if you have the elderly trees, the trees which are not saplings? Nasser lamed yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Then there's a din of 30 days of Rosh Hashanah. Kedamrinim v'mayit katan. The Rabbi Shmuel mehil chasa based from halacha Moshe Sinai. The Rabbi Kiva mikra, he learned it from sukkah. Vachnat it happens to be min hatoyer lamed yom ilon zikainim. The Chachamim also siyog l'toyer. They said no, we got to add more. The also b'steh halovan. That's a field of grain. Mi Pesach ve'elach. Already from this last Pesach, can't do any charisha in the field. U'b'steh ilon b'skeinim me'atzeres ve'elach. From Shavuos and on. The Omer b'skeinim nation yoinkin harbe. There is a different shear since these are huge mammoth trees. There you have Sholish Ilonois Lebesoa. Three Ilonis Lebesoa, which means each one of them would have a third of the 2,500, which comes out to be roughly 833 and a third square ups. They need that entire field for the nutrition, for the nourishment, the nurturing of the trees. The also be turned to stay lovan, and therefore it's not like a stay lovan, which is from Pesach. Benas is stay ilan, by the fact that you have three trees there. Oh, it's a stay ilan. Vim einem sholosh, and if you don't have three, then the same thing again. Chorish l'cholach and tach l'fi cheshbin. Same thing, 833 and a third. Ara teres v'ashar, also be Pesach v'yem. So therefore, bottom line is, from Pesach, midrabonon, also be stay ilan. Sorry, stay lovin. Stay lovin. Stay lovin means, the reason why it's called the stay lovin is because usually you have the grain growing and it's nice and white and it sways back and forth, so it has the appearance like a white field. That stay lovin is Pesach. When it comes to the old trees, you start from Atzeres. No more working the fields from Atzeres, from Shavuos. When it comes to our saplings, you go all the way to Erev Rosh Hashanah. But I have a pasuk, the Chodesh v'Kotzer Tishvei.
Yeah, so what's for the shovel then?
That's the halacha l'moishu v'sinai. The last thing, Rabbi Yochanan, Esen Tiyas, halacha l'moishu v'sinai, that you start, you can go all the way until the last month. So what is this 30 days? The 30 days is min ha-toyrah. Anything other than these Esen Tiyas, you would stop Rish Chodesh El, which was yesterday. However, Midrabban and the Rabbanim made a siyog. They added on an additional harchaka. They said, don't wait until Rosh Chodesh El. When it comes to Stei Lovan, Osir after Pesach. When it comes to Stei Ilonis of the Zekanim, it's Osir after Shavuos.
So what is Osir then? So we basically have three categories then. We have a Beisa Baal, we have a Osada Habaal, we have
You have Soda of Lovan.
Right.
So the Lovan that starts from Pesach.
Right.
You have the Sekinim that starts from Shavuos, and you have our saplings, Esenatish, which
starts from Erev Rosh Hashanah. So nothing is. So the whole 30 days is basically.
That was Minatoyah. That's what Rashi said in Minatoyah. Bechorish Rekotzer Shloishim Yai. Chachamim also Siyog, and they added on in addition to that. Where they add on from Pesach?
But Halacha Moshe Mishnah pushed it back to Erev Rosh Hashanah
by the saplings, by the Esenatish.
Right.
Exactly.
Right, so otherwise, say, Torah is 30 days.
Okay,
so they go all the way up to the
harvest, right? This is only plowing.
It's so apparent, even though Mechorish means both the plowing and the harvesting, but actually after that only talks about the plowing. So apparently the harvesting you can go and do later on. That's what we can. We're just looking at this one Rashi, and of course Rashi succinctly is trying to bring in the Sechta Shviyas, Mohikot, and Ar Gemara. You'd have to look up those other sources to see the full details. But that's what's Mashmah Rashi, that Harisha, the plowing, is Osir Pesach, Shavuos, and until Erevit. Good. Anyway, the Halacha Moshe Sinai. Tana Rabban. Fourth line, fifth line to the top. Arvi Nachal Hagdelois Al Hanachal. Prat Le Tzafzifah Hagdela Ben Ahar. Tzafzifah that we spoke about before, which has the roundish, circular types of leaves, they grow on top of the mountains, as opposed to next to the Nachal. Omrit Zeta Maikro, bring me a rye from a posik, Shtein posik Azei. Vayikach mizera oretz vayitneu b'stei zara. Kach koch al mayim rabim tzavtzofa shemoy. Somoy. It's a posik in Yechesko. Now, as the Gemara is going to explain in another few lines, as Rashi points out, here Yechezkel is saying Divrei Musar v'Teichocha to Klal Yisrael, and he's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Klal Yisrael should have a tremendous bracha, that they should not only thrive, they should flourish and blossom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kach, I took you and I wanted to give you schar for your mitzvahs, al mayim rabim, as if you were residing next to the big heavy-duty waters, that you'd have plenty to go and blossom and flourish and plant your fields and irrigate them, and I want everything should be great, and therefore, in a sense, be like the arava that also grows on Mayim Rabim on the Nach, Arvi Noch. But you guys, unfortunately, sinned, Klal Yisrael, and therefore, Tzavtzofa Somrei. You made yourself, you established yourself, instead of being these glorious Aravos, the weeping willow trees, you becoming like the Tzavtzofa. Ah, so therefore, that's where the micro, where does the pasuk come from, that the Tzavtzofa doesn't grow al Mayim Rabim? That's how the pasuk is telling us, that instead of acting in such a way that you would get schar of al Mayim Rabim, of a Aravos, you were bad, and therefore Tzavtzofa Somai, you became rejected, and now you're second class with the inferior Tzavtzofos, instead of having the Aravos. Okay, so that's the raya that comes with Mayit, the Tzavtzofa. Thank you, Mamuli Abayit. The Dumb Prusha come of Arish. Maybe you should go and explain the pasuk in the following way. Kach Mayim Rabim, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give you schar and Mayim Rabim and all the rest. Umayim Yu, what is the name of those things that grow next to Mayim Rabim? Tzavtzofa. And therefore, instead of saying that Tzavtzofa is rejected, say Aravos are rejected, and maybe the real name is not Arava, maybe it's the Tzavtzofa. So in other words, how do you know that Tzavtzofa is intended to be a second class citizen as opposed to the Aravos? Maybe Tzavtzofa is just another name for Aravos. Maybe in fact we'll see Mitchum in the bottom of the Amud that in later times people in fact did confuse the names of Aravos and Tzavtzofis and Tzavtzofis and Aravos, as we'll see shortly. So therefore that was a bias. Kasha, maybe Tzavtzofa is in fact the real McCoy as opposed to being the reject. So Kemarim came my somai. If that was the pshat in the pasuk, then it could have said Kacha Mayim Rabim Tzavtzofa. What Tzavtzofa somai? Tzavtzofa somai means that they established for themselves a backup mechanism, that they didn't get the real true first option of the Aravos, the Mayim Rabim, but unfortunately they got the default, they got the Tzavtzofa. And the Gemara now explains it in detail. Amar Bavo, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ani Amar Tishi Yisrael Lefonai Kekach Amayim Rabim. I wanted the Klal Yisrael should go and get the schar of getting like receiving the Aravos Amayim Rabim when there's plenty of water, Baruch Hashem, to let things grow and flourish. Umayi, what is that Arava? And some Latzman and said they placed themselves by their sins. Kitzavtzofa Shemar. Now what we just said now, the Gemara is going to repeat virtually word for word, but slightly different mandiyam, because we started off Amr Abzeira Maikra Kacha Mayim Rab. That was Reb Zera who was appending that explanation to the Brice, right? The Brice is taught on line 5. And then Reb Zera asked the Kasha. And on that, well, not he asked the Kasha, Reb Zera, what's the Rai from a Pasik? I find you a source, Kacha Mayim Rab. Then Abaya asked the Kasha on Reb Zera. Now, Ikedamasi lo lahai kro amasisa. Not that this was something that Reb Zera used this pasuk to explain the Braisa, but the Braisa itself quoted this pasuk. So you start off again, Tanarabban, Arvi Nachal, Hagdeles ala Nachal, Prat Letzavsva Hagdela Bein Aharim. Now the question is, my kro, where do I take this from? Zok the Braisa, Kachal Mayim Rabim Tzavtzofa Somai. And on this now, Mask of Reb Zera. And the Kasha Reb Zera is asking is the Kasha that Abaya asked according to the first question. What did Reb Zera ask? V'dilma Perusha Kom Mefarish. Maybe the Pshat in the Pasuk is not like you're saying that Tzavtzofa is the rejected one, but in fact, that is the the synonym for the, or the explanation of the Kachal Mayim Rabbah. Kachal Mayim Rabbah might hear, what is the thing that you take a Mayim Rabbah? That's its haftafa, and maybe that's its kosher and not rejected. Okay, my summary. So what is the Lashon summary? Could have said simply Kachal Mayim Rabbah Tzav Sofa. What's the summary? Now we say the same teretz again. I'm Rav Avol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani Amadji Yisrael Afonai Ki Kachal Mayim Rabbah Mayinir. That's the Arava. And they sinned. So it's the same as before, just different man, the Yomrim, etc. Okay, turn around. Eizo Arava, Eizo Tzavtzofa. Explain to me the difference between the Arava and the Tzavtzofa. Arava, Kona Shalo Odoim, the stem of it is red. The Allah Shalo Moshuch, and its Alim, its leaves, thank you, are Moshuch, are extended, in other words, they're long. Upiya cholak. Upiya cholak means that when you feel the outside of these alim, of these leaves, they are nice and smooth. While tzavtzafa, koneshalo lovan, its stem is white. While loshalo ogol, and its leaves are not long, but rather they are circled. Upiya doimelamagol, and they have, in Yiddish they call it zeigelach. Zeigelach means like the teeth of a saw.
Ridges.
Oh, shkoyach mani. So the pia meaning that each one of the leaves has such ridges to them. So those are the differences between the arava and the tzavtzaf. Frekimar batanya, doim lemagul kosher, doim lemaser is possible. We have a brisa that says that if an arava has such zeigelach, such ridges at the end of the leaf, then it's kosher. And if in fact, if you look carefully and you feel carefully the ends of the aravos, very often you get such little ridges. So you just said a moment ago that that's a sim for the tzavtzafa. Here it says that it's a kabagul is kosher. What's going on? Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? What's the difference between a magul and a maser? A magul is a sickle, a maser is a saw. So how do they differ? So Rashi says how they differ is that in the case of the magul, then the pegimois, these ridges, all go in one direction from beginning to end. Rashi enkim by the maser, half of it goes, the ridges twice towards the right, and the other left hand side goes towards the left, and in between you have two uktsim, as if you could split the leaf in half, and one is going in this direction of ridges, and the other one is going in the other direction of ridges, and has two uktsim, like two sources, two roots at the bottom. In other words, it's as if two separate leaves got somehow fused and merged together. So, says our Gemara, you just said Arava, it's got to be Dafka Pia Cholok, and here it says in the Braisa, Kimagal is kosher, Amrabai Kitanyahi Bechilfa Gila. Ah, that Braisa that says that if it's Kimagal, that's not talking about your regular Arava, it's talking about the Chilfa Gila Arava. What a Chilfa Gila Arava? So Rashi says on the second wide line down below, it's Mishkach Esla, Beloy Gores, U Mishkach Esla, Rashi, Chilfa Gila Min Arava Ksheri, Upiya doim lemagol, afshara rava piya cholak. In other words, there's no steer. Biterach klal. Most of the aravis are piya cholak, are nice and smooth. However, there is a min arava that comes from presumably a place called Gila, and in that place, their aravis were also kosher aravis because they had all the other simanim. They were long and they had the red stems, etc. However, in that respect, they did have these little ridges, and that is kosher, even though that's not standard for most aravis, but you do have aravis with the ridges and it's kosher. So getting back to our Gemara, Omer Abayi Shlami, no, Chilfa Gila, kosher lo yishan. You see from this that the Chilfa Gila is kosher v'yishan. I mean, that's pshat in the Braisa. The Braisa says it's Zoyim L'magal, and the only case that you can think of is the Chilfa Gila. And of course it's kosher v'yishan. What are you trying to be mechadish? The Gemara, Ma'al, the same, Hoyle v'isle shem levoy, loy niskasher. Oh, we have the same thing with Gabi v'hadasim as well, that if it has a shem levoy, I would say it's not kosher. Kamash Malon, which was the hadas that we had yesterday? That was the hadas mitzra'a, two pshatim in the Rashi, either grew on the border, or it was the Egyptian hadasim. So I would have thought, oh, it has a special hyphenated name, and here too, it's not just chilfa. Chilfa means arabis. But it's the chilfa gila, so it shouldn't be kosher. Kamash Malon, it is kosher. Vekim of Eimachinami, maybe Taki, you're right, maybe a chilfa gila is not good. Since it says Arvei, which again is the plural, like we already darshaned a couple times plural. So the plural form of Arvei Nachkamis include not just one min of Arvei, but also the Chilfa Gila min of Arvei. Now from here, Omer of Chizda, until the Omer Aleph, we're going to see in Mi'at Hashem that there were, over time, changes in terminology. So Omer of Chizda, Hanitzlas Mili Yishtani Shemai, Lichichore Beis Midrash, after Beis Midrash was destroyed, then three words got a brand new meaning over time. Chalfesa, Arvesa, Arvesa, Chalfesa. What does the Gemara mean? Chalfesa is the Aramaic word for a tzafzifa, and even though the Aravis are the kosher ones, the tzafzifa are the bad ones, when you would go after the Churban Beis Midrash to the people that were selling the Arba Minim, you wouldn't ask for Aravis, you would ask for the Chalafta, the Chalfesa, which is really the non-kosher ones. But because the two names got switched, therefore they started calling the tzafzifa Aravis, and the Aravis equal tzafzifa, so therefore you would ask for a Chalfesa, and you wouldn't ask for an Aravis. Similarly, which one you should go and take? Make sure that you go and get the kosher Aravis, even though they have the non-kosher name to it now, the Chalafta, because it was Mischalef, it got switched. Similarly, Shipura Chatzoytra, Chatzoytrasa Shipura. Well, Shofar, we know what a Shofar is. We heard Simi blow so beautifully this morning, the Shofar. And then you have something known as the Chatzoytras. Like said the Pasuk, Aselecha Shtei Chatzoytras. Now those Chatzoytras in the Torah are Chatzoytras of Kesef, which we typically refer to as trumpets. Here, the really difference between Shofar and Chatzoytras are from which animals they grow and what's the shape of the Shofar. In the good old days, the Shofar, says Rashi, those were kofuf. Those were nice and roundish, right? Like you see the Shofars today. While Masha'en came, the Chatzoytras was a very long, plain, not a round type of, a twisting type of Shofar. Sorry, once again?
Sometimes you can tell you how they call these.
Long bop, bop, bop. You know, those are the Chatzoytras. So our Gemara tells us that after the Chumash Minyush, there was a switch in terminology. They started calling the Shofars Chatzoytras, Chatzoytras, Shofars, might not come in on the Shofar Rishonah. If you're out in the market to get a Shofar Rishonah, don't call it a Shofar, call it a Chatzoytras. Otherwise, they'll sell you the wrong thing. They'll get you the two types, like you just heard from Sam. Psarta, 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 Psarta. Both Psarta and Psarta are related to the word table in English. In other words, psoira is a regular table, psarta is a smaller table. Just like in Yiddish, a lefel is a spoon, and a lefela is a small spoon. So psarta means a small table. This is a gros edition, a tishala, right? A small table. This is the way it's supposed to be. But again, after Chorban Beis Midrash, they switched the terms, and the big tables they started calling psarta. And the small tables are called psoira. So what's menafkimina? Menafkimina is mekuchememker. That if you're putting an ad in the paper or you're putting up a sign in your store, oh, the psoiras cost the following amount. So you should know that the psoira that you're talking about is not the big tables, it's a small tishala. So be careful when you're doing business what you're referring to.
But nowadays we still call it a rabbi, and a rabbi don't call it a rabbi.
No, for sure. Apparently, after time, then it got switched back again.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently this was a short interim period. Doesn't say how long, but you're right. Same thing with Gabi Shofar Chatzoytras. We know what a Shofar is today. Nobody would call the Shofar a trumpet. Amar Abai, Afani Oimer, says Abai, it's not only the three that Rav Chizda said, I have to add a couple more. What are those couple more? Afani Oimer, Beikasi, Huvliva, Huvliva, Beikasi. Now, we all know that an animal, such as a cow, has four stomachs. What are the four stomachs? Back in Masechet Chulin, we learned one is a keres, another is a keva, another is the hemsis, and the beis hakoisis. So the huvlila in our Gemara is referring to the hemsis and the beis hakoisis, beikasi, the beis hakoisis. Now, says the Gemara, there was a period of time after the Churban Beis Midrash that they switched the terminology from Beis Kosis to the Hemsis and Hemsis to Beis Kosis. Right in my line after, huh? The Machat Hanim Tzeboi Beis Kosis. So Rashi explains that the Beis Kosis, the walls of the Beis Kosis, are much thicker than the walls of the Hemsis. And in fact, Rashi says the Beis Kosis had like a double layer to it. Well, the Hemsis only had one layer. And therefore, if you had a machat that went into the wall of the Beis HaKosis, typically it would not make the animal treif, because since it was such a thick wall with two different layers, normally the machat would get embedded at the in the first level or the beginning of the second level, and so therefore the rest of the wall of the two walls held it back so it didn't pierce and puncture into the actual stomach itself. But that was by the basic choices. But the hamsis, unfortunately, was one thin wall, so once a machat went in, there was very little to hold it back, and typically it did puncture, and therefore it caused this animal to become a treif. And so the infant says he was, it's grace enough, kimina, whether if the bodek tells you, I just found a machat in the basic choices, is it kosher or not? So if the basic choices is the traditional two walled basic choices, in all likelihood it's going to be kosher. If it's the new term, which is really the hemsis, and all likelihood it's not going to be kosher. I mean, you have to continue checking. But the point is, when you find that machat, whether or not you can assume it's going to be treif, you can assume it's going to be kosher. Rabbi Bar Yosef Afani Omer, I will add another one. The Bovel Borsis, the Borsif Bovel. We all know Bovel, of course, is Babylon, Bovel. And then there was also a town called Borsif. Says the Gemara, they also switched around the names. Bovel Borsif, Borsif Bovel, and Mayna Femina, which is Femina, Regabe Gite Noshim. So there's a machloikas over here. Rashi toises exactly what do we mean, Regabe Gite Noshim. So Rashi brings from the beginning of Masecht Gittin. We all know there's a mitzvah, if you're bringing a maybe get Medina Sayyam, you have to go and say, Befanei Nechtem, Befanei Nechtem. Why do you have to say, Befanei Nechtem, Befanei Nechtem? The machloikas Rab and Rava, whether the reason is because of the Kiyam Lishma or Eidim Mitzvah in the Kaimai. But that's only if you bring Medina Sayyam, because Medina Sayyam people were Amaratsim, and therefore they weren't Baki Belishma. Or you didn't have a lot of traffic in those days going from Chutzlar to Eretz Yisrael. In fact, even today there's very little traffic because of the COVID business. Anyway, so you couldn't find easily Eidim Mitzui in the Kaim. And therefore you have to say Vanenechtu, and we know for sure that the get was written properly and etc. Good. Now that was normal dinasiyah. But the Morris says, Sechus Kidden, that people are coming from Bavel. That's a different story. Why? Number one, because the Bavel, the people are B'nai Torah, so they are Baki Lishma. And because who lived in Bavel? Lots of B'nai Yeshiva. They really had the famous yeshivas, Sura, Neherdor, Pompadisa, etc. And people would travel, therefore, from Chutzla, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to Bavel to learn there in the yeshivas, the Kolim, etc. So they were Eidim Mitzuyin Lek Haimoy. So from Bavel, you could rely on them. They did not need to say B'fani Nech, B'fani Nech. Borsif, on the other hand, says Rashi, was a city of Amaratzim, Garnet Givust. And therefore, people didn't typically want to be associated with Borsif, so probably was very little traffic going back and forth. And the people there were Gishmak Amaratzim. So what's so Gishmak? So we had a Reuven Vogler colony that told us we were talking about Nanuam and about the Lulav and Esrik. He gives Shurim on Masechta Sukkah. So he was saying that unfortunately even today there are Amaratzim, and he has people that he sees in Shul who are carrying their Lulav and the Esrik, and the Esrik the entire time is upside down. See, why is the Esrik upside down? You should turn the other way. He says, but Rabbi, isn't it weird that the thing that protrudes from the Esrik, isn't that supposed to be on the top? Of course, he was talking about the pittim, but that person was carrying the ukits on top and not the pittim on top, and that's how he was carrying it. And he saw other people, as you know, when you make the bracha, you're supposed to make it oivelasi also. So we start off with the esrik upside down and then we turn it over. And he says he sees many people, and unfortunately they make the bracha where the esrik is right side up, and then they make the bracha and they turn it over. He said, well, why'd you do that? So Rabbi always told that you're going to buy the bracha, you turn it around, so I turn it over, you know. So anyway, so the point is that in Borsif there were lots of Amaratzim, and therefore they did have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. But in subsequent years, after the Beis Hamikdash, there was a switching of the names, and Bavel became Borsif, and Borsif became Bavel, and so therefore, if the Shluchim tell you that we brought it from Borsif, oh, then they're coming to come, they're coming from Bavel. They come from Bavel, you have to wonder, they're coming from Borsif. As we learned, Rashi Pshat. Toisa says, number one, Toisa says, that must be that the Bavel that we're talking about is not the Shem HaMedina, because there's an obvious difference between Bavel that had so many towns and cities. Bavel, I believe, is like modern day Iraq, more or less.
New York State, New York City.
Oh, exactly. Like a state with a city. So there was apparently a Bavel that was just the name of a city, and they were also Tamid Chum. So that Bavel was, yeah, and the Boris of Nish, but they switched the names over time, at least for some period of time. Doisit gives another pshat, you have to write write in the get Shem Iroi v'Shem Ira, so you have to be careful what you're writing in the name, in the city name inside the get, whether you're writing Babel or Borsif, depending on the period of time.
Maybe this is where the minute comes from, to change a seat when somebody's nuker.
So this is all because of the destruction of the base method, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe we get the minute of changing. Could be. Like we do it, one Esrig, one Lulav, three Hadassim and two Arabis. By the way, you do see people, especially among Hasidim, many of them add more Hadassim or Arabis to the mix. In fact, you can buy special Koshalach, which are much wider with different, you can put in many more Hadassim. So you shouldn't think, oh, maybe the person's over about Toysif, because the Mishnah says Shloish Hadassim. So the middle Toysif says, it's okay. Our Mishnah therefore is telling us the minimum. It is not telling us the maximum. At least Toysis says Hadassah and Rabbis. He doesn't talk about Lulav and Esrik, so basically you'd have to look up other Mepharshim what the din would be. But of course, everybody knows Lulav and Esrogim are much more expensive, so it's unlikely somebody's going to take
Hadassah to this.
Yeah, well, compare the two. Okay, so Rishon Levish Loish Hadassah, Shteh Rabbis, Lulav and Esrik Yechad. Now, Rabbi Yishmael says something fascinating. I feel the Shnayim Ketumim, he's talking about the Hadassim, even though you have to have three Hadassim, if two of them are cut off at the top, which we said already before, that passes it, the Echad Eina Ketumim, and one of them is kosher, that's also sufficient. And the Gemara is going to ask, Astira, Rabbi Shmuel. Here you tell me you have to have three Hadassim, and then you say even if two of them are non-kosher.
You take one Hadass very long, cut it into three segments, and you have a...
Okay. So much we're going to talk about that in the Gemara shortly. The Tarfin Oimer, Afilu Shloshtim Ketumim, even if all three are Ketumim, it's kosher. Rashi says, because the Tarfin holds, you do not have a din of Hodar by Hadassim. In other words, what's the reason why Hadass, which is cut off at the top, is possible? There's no din of choser. The din is a psul of hodar. It's not pretty. If Darvin says the din of pretty only refers to an esrig, pre eitz hodar, we don't learn a hekish to hadassah. Rabbi Kiva Oimek, Kishem Shalulav Echad, the esrig Echad, Kachodus Echad, Barova Achas, everyone, you only have to have one all together, each one. Don't do more time. The price that we're going to bring now is just an expansion on our Mishnah. Tanya Bishwal Oimek, pre eitz hodar, Echad. Kapois Tamarim Echad. The reason why Kapois Tamarim, because as we know, it says Kapois without a Vav, so therefore it's like Kapas Tamarim, only one. Anaf Eitz always Ishloisha, you have to have three. Where do you get three, says Rashi? Because each word, Anaf is one, Eitz is two, Ovis is three, Anaf Eitz Ovis, you have to have three Ishloisha altogether. Toys is Sass, and Bezoi, when you say three Eitz Hodder, when you go and say Be'etz Hodder, you also have to have three.
And the Kapos Tamarim, at least, you know.
And the Kapos Tamarim is because of the fact that it says Kapois without a vav is Davka telling us only one kapas.
It says tomorrow, and tomorrow is two. It should be three. I mean, it's
you and I can't make
this. I know.
Chazal had the Kabbalah what the drushes
okay,
were.
Okay.
If you look at Rashi right after the Mishnah, halfway down, kapas tomorrow method, mashma, it's mashma one. The kapas ksiv, it doesn't say kapois with a vav. I mean, we read it with a vav, but it's written without a vav. Getting back to the Gemara, so anaf itzav shloisha arvi nochel shtein. Like we have in the Mishnah, of the three Hadassim, even if two are cut and one is not, it's also kosher. Even if all three are cut, because he doesn't need Hodah. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lezer now comes on the scene and he says, "Hey, just like we have the other three are together as one bundle, the lulav, hadassim, and arovis, maybe you have to also bundle the esrig in it." So to my amris, no. You know why not? In other words, if you look in the pasuk lekachtem lechem, you'll notice something interesting. Pri eitz hodar, of course, is the esrig. Then kapois tomorrow. And then it's va'anaf eitz avoyz v'arvi nochal. So you have and before the hadassim, and you have an and before the. How come you don't have v'chapoyz tomorrow? Just like you have by the anaf eitz avoyz v'arvi. Because it's coming to tell you that after the pre eitz hodar you make a stop, take an asterisk. And then you take a bundle of kapris tomorrow. Those three with the vavs get tied together like the vav is machaber all three, creates others on its own, no chibur with the others. You have to hold it together, but you don't have to tie it together. Zokti moravaiter nochamus. That was a blazer. Pchiamres and that. Elakapoyz. Uminayin shemakvezeze. How do you know that you have to take all four? In other words, you cannot think that these are four separate mitzvahs, and therefore, well, if I don't have an esrog, I'll take the other three. No. You got to take all four. Each one is ma'akim on the other. Tamalim lekach tem. The word tam shetehei lekicha tama. A full lekicha of all four together. If you only take three of the four, you only have your hadasim and your lulav and your esrik without the aravis, no good. You're not yoytz in the mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel one of Shach. Okay, so now we go back to Rabbi Shmuel. We already pointed out in the Mishnah. I don't understand Rabbi Shmuel. Ish leimim boy, if he holds you need three hadasim shleimim liboy nami kula, then all three have to be sholeim. Iloi boy shleimim. If he said no, if their cut is also kosher, filchad nami loy, so he should hold like Reb Tarfin that even shloshtem ketumim. Where does Rabbi Shmuel come up and say of the three, two can be posel katum, and one of them make sure that it's sholeim? You know, make up your mind. Bishmol changed his mind midstream. So what does it mean he changed his mind midstream? So Rashi explains that Bishmol said initially three hadassim. Before he finished his halacha, he says, you know what? You only really need one. And therefore, even if shtayim aktumim, two of them are broken or cut off, as long as echad ainu katum isha yinuk, you don't need more than that. So he changes my chazabai. You don't need three. You only need one.
No, I understand. We have Mishnah Mishnah Lozazim Komo. You know, we have an original Mishnah. It's written that way. It's kind of, but here it's in the same Mishnah. It's a little bit of a stretch to say he changed his mind in the middle of the Mishnah.
I agree with you. It happens to be very unusual that would be the case, but that's how the Gemara is understanding Rabbi Shmuel, that as he was finishing his halacha, he said, you know what? And now, it would be difficult to say he said it over to the Dibur, because why didn't the Mishnah just simply say his final thought?
Right.
That you only need one hadas, you don't need three hadas. But apparently this was over a period of time. In other words, initially Rabbi Shmuel, when he was younger, said you have to have three. In later years, he changed his mind. He said one is enough, and they fused it together for some reason. You're right, in terms of normal logic, it seems to be unusual. Now the question is, why does the Mishnah then bother saying, "Afilu shnayim ketumim v'echad ein katum"? Why don't you just simply say, no, you know what? Echad ein katum is sufficient. What does he even bring in the shnayim ketumim? So the Ran and the Ritva both learn pshat in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shmuel continues to hold that lechatchila you should have three, only one is ma'akev, and so therefore bring three. And as Barry was saying before, take a very, very long hadas, which is at least 9 tvachim long, and then cut into threes. One of them will be a shalem, the other two will be ketumim, and that's fine. That would also be, you have to have three lechatchila. But the Eved, even one is enough. How are you going to get three? So even if two of them are possible, three is lechatchila. Rashi is not mashma the way. Rashi is mashma, and now after he changed his mind, you only need one, and lav dafka the other two are good. Amr v'yudom shvur halach yirav tarfin. The halach is like Reb Tarfin that even shloshed and ketum. The other Shmuel, the Tam Shmuel goes to Shitosai in a famous story.
Yes.
The Amr v'Shmuel ano demezavdi asa. Shmuel said to those that were selling hadasim, and apparently they were jacking up the prices, he said, Ashu uzvino, go and lower your prices, make them equal, meaning normal market rates, don't go and ask for these egregious amounts. Viloy, and if not, Derishin Lechu, I'm going to paskin out loud, Kerem Tarvin, that all the hadasim that you use can all be treif, it can all be shloshed and ketumim, and then you're going to lose all your business, because you are charging these humongous amounts. People are here, you can even go and get three cut hadasim, then it's going to
pennies. It'll be pennies.
Exactly. It's going to affect your business terribly. Right, Dimar, my timer, why did... So we see Shmuel and Shita say, hold like Reb Tachin. Right, Dimar, my timer, what's the reason why he told them I'm going to darshan like Reb Tachin? Ilai Mishim, the Meikul, because Reb Tachin, that's a tremendous kula, three ketumah. Is religious Shmuel Reb Akiva, the Meikul Tvei. The Choyre, if he wanted to really scare all of these Hadassim guys, he should have said, Chevra, if you're going to start arguing and you're going to go and raise the prices and jack up your prices, you know what? I'm going to darshan for everybody like Reb Akiva. You only need one altogether. Hodos echad. Boy, you guys are going to lose your pants. Why didn't he say that? Why did he say hoes like Reb Tachin? It's easier to find three broken hadasim than finding one hodos sholeh. And so therefore the real big cool he's going to say is, you're paskin like Reb Tachin, ho ho, sitzan tzuris, you're going to lose your pants. So everybody had to go and lower the prices, otherwise you're going to lose their money. It's a famous story, I think it was by either Beis Yisrael,
yeah,
or the Keri Rebbe for sure.
That's it.
Okay, so Beis Yisrael or Lev Simcha. You heard officially from Reb Simcha that it was the Lev Simcha. The Lev Simcha was the Shtraimel Machers in Yerushalayim raised their prices by 50% or something, and he said to all the Chevra, you go and put it down again back to the original price, otherwise I myself, next Shabbos, I'm going to wear a hat on Shabbos. Every all the Gerav Sinema are all going to follow suit.
And business collapse.
And guess what? It went, the price went down immediately. Okay, anyway, true story. Next Mishnah. Look the Mishnah. Esrega Gozel by Yavish Basel. Oh, it sounds familiar, right? Gozel and Yavish. Like Rashi said before, yes, we repeat this again because of other halachas we're going to have in the Mishnah. So Esrega, which is stolen, Lekachem, Lechem, it's treif. Hayavish, it's harder, it's possible. Mishal Hashem, Mishal Nidachas, it's possible because of what we said before. Ksuse Mech, the Sheurei, it's if it was totally burned and you don't have the shear that you need for the Esrega. Shall Orla possible, shall Truma Temeya possible. If you have an Esrik of Orla, it's possible. Truma Temeya is possible. What's the reason why it's possible? Now, everybody knows that Orla you cannot have Hano'ah from. But the Halach of Hano'ah only applies to normal things. Mitzvahs Lav Lehanois Nitnu. Why can't you use an Esrik of Orla? So we're going to see tomorrow in the Amud Aleph of Machloikis. But basically, the reason is going to be that even though you're not allowed to have Hano'ah from Arla, not even though, because you're not allowed to have Hano'ah from Arla, even though you're not allowed to have Hano'ah from Esrig either, but since the Torah says, L'kachtam l'chem, it has to be b'metzius that you could have had Hano'ah from the Esrig, because it's got to be yours. Yours means that you own it, that you have some monetary interest in it. If it's totally also Hano'ah and it's worthless, Masa Manah means I can't have any Hano'ah, so it's worthless. So then it's not L'kachtam l'chem, because it doesn't belong to me. I can't own something worthless. So good. And it's going to be tomorrow's Gemara. Yes, what's up here?
When it comes to Arla, there's nothing. He has some human, obviously, but it's his.
Arla?
It's his traits. I mean,
Arla applies to you and applies to me and applies to everybody. If you have Arla fruit, just like you're not allowed to eat it because you're the farmer, I can't eat it and he can't eat it. So nobody can have enough. So it has considered to be totally worth it.
Just, for example, to give to God or something.
Can't give it to a
goy. Can you burn it?
Whether it has a din of burning or not is not our sugya. By kelayim you have to go and burn. I don't think there's din of or that you have to go and burn. But in the meantime, we'll talk about this in much greater detail tomorrow. The show truma temeya, since you're not allowed to eat truma temeya, also it's considered to be a chesorin in your lechem because I don't have full use out of it. Again, it's possible. Show truma tahira lo yita v'notul kosher. Truma tahira is lechatchila. Don't take it truma tahira. But the yeah, if you did is kosher. What's this? What's going on over here? So the Gemara is going to tell us. In the good old days, they didn't have these plastic containers where you put in your lulav and hadassim and aravas, and people didn't have refrigerators. So what did they do? And in fact, many people in the Haim in Europe and older people in America used to do this for many years. That they used to have a special pail and which was full of water, and after they were finished shocking the lulav and asking, they would go and put the lulav every day into the pail, and therefore that would hopefully
keep it from becoming yavish.
Exactly, keep it fresh. So now when I go and take out my lulav and hadassim and aravos from the pail and it's dripping with water, I'm going to go and take it now together with the esrig. The esrig might get that water on it. It'll become mukshir lekabel tuma. And since we're talking about truma, lo yitol. Don't take truma because I'm afraid it might be mukhshar and then it's going to become tame. I don't want to be metame truma. If you took it, it's kosher. Okay, just be careful. It shouldn't become mukhshar or become mukhshar. Make sure it doesn't become kabotom. Sorry, once again?
Isn't
that
another problem? The water, it can still grow. It's not, so it might be considered tolish.
That's a good question. So the
hydroponics, you have
to. Okay, so let's look at it tomorrow more. But let's say during cholamoid, for instance. Cholamoid, you can certainly put it to the water, right? That you don't have a problem at all. So cholamoid, you got to go into the water. It's going to be wet, etc. Right, the beishamai. Okay, now the not that shall kosher. Good. Shall demai. What happens if you had demai? Beishami poisul misil machshir. Why is beishami poisul misil machshir? Because according to beishamai, it's essentially like tevel. Because it's demai. I don't know where the trumas and mice are coming from it. So therefore, I don't have the full right to go and eat it. It's not fully lechem. Well, beisil says it's kosher. What's the difference? Because beisil says that aniyim are allowed to eat demai. And since everybody is allowed to go and be mafker all of the nechasav to become an ani, so therefore we could theoretically become aniyim, and therefore demai would be okay for us. Therefore, it's kosher.
Eventually, kosher royal aniyus kani dummy.
Good. So Master Sheni of Yerushalayim lo yitol v'notol kosher. If it's Master Sheni, well, you're allowed to eat in Yerushalayim. Lechatchil again lo yitol. Why lo yitol? Because Master Sheni is like truma that the chum didn't want it to become tamei. V'notol, but if you did kosher, it's okay because in Yerushalayim you can eat it. Also chazodas al rubai. What happens if chazodas means all types of swelling on roiv of the esrik, or niklaf masoi, or the pitten fell off, which is of course very common. Niklaf if it's peeled. So you only see the inside of the esrik. Nistak if it's cracked or it's split. Nik if it's a hole. If the hole is chaser koshu, as a result of the hole, part of the esrik is missing, then it's possible because it's chaser. It's possible. Also chazaz haluta, if you only had swelling on part of it, not roiv, but on mir. Notal uktzai, if the ukitz on the bottom fell out. Nik if loy chaser koshu, yeah, they stack a hole, but it's not missing anything, it's totally intact. Kosher. Esrik akushi, a black esrik is possible. Vayorik akarsi, if it's as green as a leek. In other words, the word yorik sometimes means yellow and sometimes it means green. Here it means green like akarsi, like a leek. And the Mephoshim say that when a Buddha apostles, he's only talking about that type of esrik that would not become yellow if you left it standing, you left it around. Even our green esroigim, if many people they put apples next to it and stuff like that, so the green turns yellow. And even if you didn't put the apple, eventually it would turn yellow if you had a little patience.
Therefore,
here we're talking about Yarka Karasi that we know for sure it's never going to become yellow. So then Serbuta, then it's possible. Sheer esrik, a cotton, what's the smallest esrik? Meir oimik egois, like a walnut. The Yehuda oimer kibeya, like an egg. Ubigod, what's the biggest size? Kibesh yoy cheshnaim biyodoi, that he can hold two simultaneously in one hand, divra Yehuda. Yoy seyoimah, fil echa mishteyod, even if you have one which is as large as a watermelon, that you have to have two hands to go and hold it. Moroccan ones are very, very large. Even that is kosher. Netshem, continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
7:45 a.m.
7:45, Rabbi says. 7:45, Gans Pinklach. Netshem tomorrow. Hatzlacha, Rabbi. Have a wonderful day.